Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Indeed.
So indeed. That was once again perfection on my part and yours.
Thank you. I feel like I'm getting better. I only looked at my script a little bit.
Yeah.
Like out of the corner on my eye here. Only a little, like a little side eye looking at the script.
Last episode, you accused me of leaving something out, and I'm going to go back and listen to that like six times to make sure I didn't. So, you know, January, hooray. I've always liked the month of January because I clean up the Christmas decorations and feel that my house is larger. This year, living in a 600-foot apartment or 200 miles away from my husband, I'm hoping to get back into our house this month. So thoughts and prayers appreciated, listeners. I'm really excited to at the prospect of having like all my underwear in one under one roof instead of under three, the way it is now. I mean, I'm very lucky to have the family home on Cape Cod to escape to, but it's going to take a while before I wake up and know where I am.
Yeah, home renovations are brutal. I just wanted to say, when you mentioned that the apartment you're living in is 600 feet, my house is 768 square feet.
It's all about layout.
It really is.
You know, because that apartment you have a four-room house.
Yeah, that apartment is very small.
Because you have a laundry room, too.
Yes, yes.
You know, and we just have a big living room with a mattress on the floor and a couple chairs, the desk where my printer is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're living in a cardboard box. It's great to have my office for that, but I can literally roll out of my chair and land in my bed.
I'm picturing that, and I love that visual. I do. I love that visual.
So, you know, the idea of having a cellar again, my own washing machine, being able to take a shower in something that's not claustrophobic and casket-like, those are all things I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So we have... We have an interesting letter this week. I mean, all of them are interesting, and I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Oh, great.
All right. Dear ladies, thank you for being you and sharing your thoughts and friendship. You're not only hilarious, but very real. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
This letter may be long, so no, I adore you, and let's get down to business. Many moons ago, I met another mom, Roseanne, not her real name. And over the years, we became besties with our families, even spending some holidays together and us taking our kids on day trips and adventures when we were both full-time moms. While we seem to have one strong common bond of us, neither of us being from the small town we lived in, as our kids grew older, I realized we didn't actually have that much in common. I'm a little more adventurous and Roseanne is a little more cautious. There are also differences in our levels of ambition as well. But opposites attract, and we always had fun. Being the romantic that I am, I still believed we could be lifelong BFFs. We shared many secrets with each other and supported each other in very rough times, including bankruptcy and marital issues, and we've also had many laughs. This is what being best friends was about, right? It is acknowledged by all that I have a more demanding schedule these days than Roseanne does, as she only has one child left who is not yet old enough to drive, and she is still a full-time mom. My kids are in college and the military, and I work full-time. I've tried to keep our friendship active by asking her to do things, but she has set boundaries on her availability, such as no meeting for dinner during the week because it disrupts the schedule of the middle schooler. Also, if we are able to have dinner together, she insists it has to be at a sit-down place where someone can wait on her and she can relax a while since she waits on her family 24/7. She has not had a job outside of the home in 25 years. To add to it, we also had very different political views in the last election, in which she spent a great deal of time on social media bashing the opposition, where I wish I had that kind of time. Yes, I have already analyzed if I am jealous of the time she has on her hands, but can honestly say that I'm not, as I truly enjoy working as much as anyone can and truly enjoy my job. While I was questioning if I was jealous of Roseanne and her extra leisure time, I realized the problem may be the other way around. Is Roseanne jealous of me? I am a little more outgoing than she is and tend to be one of those people with 100 acquaintances, but only 4 people I would call friend. And Roseanne is one of those friends, at least I'd like to think. Last year, I went back to school and the divide between us became more obvious to me. While I am not perfect, gasp and clutch pearls, some of Roseanne's flaws have been very visible lately. The most recent text I received was a copy of her mortgage being paid off, which is great. But she didn't ask about my son during the 6 months he was deployed. Or if she does ask about him, she'll say, "Aren't you so upset you won't see him for Thanksgiving?" Which could be phrased a little more gently. I still want to hang on to our friendship for old time's sake, or at least want to remain on good terms. My husband says this is how Roseanne has always been, a little jealous. I can see our friendship is changing, but I'm having a hard time accepting this. Certainly I'm not perfect, but she's never come to me with any issues. Full disclosure, Roseanne avoids confrontation, so my approaching her, I fear, would do more damage. The only question I have is this. What are your thoughts? With love, Roseanne's befuddled friend.
Well, Roseanne's befuddled friend. Your friend, just on first glance for me, sounds very introverted because that's how I am. I don't have a lot of friends. I guard my time very jealously also. I'm not mad at her for wanting to go to a sit-down dinner and like be waited on. I mean, come on. That sounds fantastic. I don't have any kids and I love that. So she might be a little jealous that you're doing more outside of the home than she is, but I don't necessarily see that as something that's really based on your letter, right. Like something that's like blowing up your relationship. I don't really see it as that much of a divide, as you say.
I have to say that based on your letter, and you know, that's all we can base our conclusions on. I'm not seeing that Roseanne is jealous. And I think you're making some assumptions that could be harmful. For example, that she has so much free time. I have been a stay-at-home mother. Middle school is a very busy time for children. There are a lot of activities, a lot of changes coming your kids' way. They need mommy more than ever, perhaps, in those transition years. And the fact that she posted more on social media isn't really an indication of I have so much time. It might be she felt very passionately and wanted to state her opinion. And, you know, it's not, you can't make an assumption that she's doing this just because she has time to kill, even though that might be what you do with your social media.
Right. I mean, I'm really not seeing too much of a problem here. I think if you don't like the way she refers to your son, you say here that she'll say, "Aren't you upset you won't see him for Thanksgiving?" Which could be phrased a little more gently. In the moment, just say, you know, could you please say this a different way? It's a little harder for me. I miss him so much. And, you know, when you say it like that, it kind of pokes at me a little bit. So in the moment, if you could just address that, that's less of a confrontation where you're sitting down and having that one talk and more like a very gentle correction, you know?
I agree that in the moment is the best time to do it. If that makes you jerk your head a bit, so upset, you could say, you know, I wouldn't use the word upset. I'll miss him very much, but I'm so proud of what he's doing and the young man that he is.
Absolutely.
There you just turned it completely around.
Right.
By acknowledging, of course, you're going to miss your son. He's your son, but he's making something very important with his life and and doing something that most of us would not do voluntarily.
Right.
That may have been a very loving question.
Yeah.
Are very hard to decipher.
Yeah. And she, like you say, it may have been something where she was very consciously trying to inquire about your child and how your son is doing. And you interpreted it a weird kind of a way, like as a kind of way, because you are missing your son so much.
Right. So right.
It was vulnerable about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Texting that they paid off their mortgage might have been, again, something that she felt safe enough in your friendship to share mm-hmm. this major life accomplishment with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are that friend that she can share her triumphs with. And yeah. there's a saying that I think is very revealing and very good to keep to your heart. Pay attention to who claps when you win.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to be friends with someone when they are down on their luck and you can bake them cookies or, you know, give them a Grubhub gift certificate or visit them in the hospital or bring flowers to them after their parent dies, you know, and you feel kind of holy about that. But I think the real test of friendship is, can you celebrate someone's accomplishments and wins with a true glad heart and say, yeah. I'm so happy for you. This is huge. Maybe her sending you the mortgage notice was rubbing your nose in it, but maybe it was, I'm so happy and so relieved. This is yeah. huge for us. And I knew you would be the friend who'd understand.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, I just sent her on a notice that I paid off my student loans. Ooh.
Oh gosh. You know, yeah. and we were thrilled for you. It was
huge. That made me so happy.
yeah. You know, that's what friends do. And, you know, it's not necessarily saying, look, I paid off my student loans, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering about the lens through which you're seeing Rosie.
Right. Right.
You have made this assumption that you guys might be jealous of each other. Could it be that you're just different from each other?
Mm-hmm. I think you're growing a little bit in a different direction. You started school, you started a job, and she's still the stay-at-home mom. And when you were the stay-at-home mom, you guys were really close. And so I think your trajectory is going in one direction. She's sort of still staying on the same path. And so it might be causing a little bit of a disconnect between you two, but nothing that could not be overcome if that's what you want.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any real red flags here. It, mm-hmm. it sounds like Roseanne's boundaries are very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, family time is family time, which mm-hmm. includes weeknights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a little more cautious and you're more adventurous. I'm not really sure how that translates to real life. You say there's differences in our levels of ambition as well. Again, that's a big assumption to make, that you are judging her on job.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that she's quite ambitious and mm-hmm. her ambition revolves around her family life, her home life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with that. That yeah. is what feminism is all about. It's
right.
her mm-hmm. choice, right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
she has chosen to you know, nurture her family 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say that you're not nurturing yours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And your children are already grown. So, but it doesn't mean she's not ambitious.
Yeah.
I mean, her ambitions are different from yours.
Right. Right.
So there's a little, I feel like the issue here is maybe the lens through which you're seeing her, not
yeah.
that she is so different from you, that she is somehow jealous of you,
mm-hmm.
That she's trying to poke you a little bit. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt here. Now, you may have other experiences with her that scream jealousy,
mm-hmm.
but your letter doesn't show those.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I completely agree. Totally.
Yeah. And in a few years, her son or daughter, I'm not sure, you know, her child will be out of the house in mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years. And maybe you and Roseanne will find you have much more in common. Maybe she'll join the workforce again or go back to school or maybe
yeah.
not. But for now, I would say, you mentioned like she's bad at confrontation. I don't see a reason for confrontation here.
Agree.
And I think the word confrontation is problematic. I think conversation is better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have something to say to her, do it in a friendly setting. Say, let's take a walk. It's a beautiful day. You know, I'd love to catch up and chat. And if you say, if you really want to bring something up, you know, you can say, it's been different lately. You know, I'm working, I'm in school, you're at home raising your wonderful child. You know, how are you? How are things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on with you?
I'm thinking too that your problems sound more logistical and less like there's a problem. Yeah. Like you can't really fight. Like she doesn't want to go out during the week because of her child, and you may want to, so that may cause some friction, but it's really just a logistical challenge. Right. It's not a big deal challenge. I'm thinking maybe more compassion for you as much as we possibly can. Because what it sounds like is there might be a clumsy phrase or two that has wormed its way in, but nothing that can't be overcome. So yeah. Instead, like Kristen says, instead of looking at it as through the lens of jealousy or friction or tension, be as compassionate as you possibly can and put yourself in her shoes to the point of pain and say, I know this, she's a good person and she couldn't possibly mean to hurt me with this. So I'm choosing to view what she said in this light.
Yeah.
That's a good practice to have. It's hard to do, but you got to keep practicing it.
Right. And this is assuming that you have written us about the worst things that have upset you the most in your relationship with Roseanne. Right. These are not friendship enders as far as I'm concerned.
Agree.
Again, an awkward phrase. And you know, Joss and I firmly believe in the art of the apology. You know, mm-hmm. when you stick your foot in it, which unlike last week's episode where a friend said something about how unattractive her friend was, you can put your foot in it by saying like, oh, aren't you so upset that your son won't be joining you? And then say, shit, I could have said, you know, you must be thinking of your son.
Yes.
How proud you must be. Right.
Right.
Not everybody has every sentence fall gracefully from their lips. You have to account for that. And again, you know, that sort of gentle reframing of her, mm-hmm. of her sentiment could show her, of course I miss him, but I'm so proud and, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm not upset. This is just what happens when you're a military mom.
Right, right. I want to point out too that Kristen and I have a seemingly opposite sort of friendship. Kristen's very much an extrovert and I am an introvert, and she's on a very different career path. But Kristen also has a family, and like your friend, like Roseanne, her family comes first, which never bothered me. I don't have kids. Right. And so that never, when Kristen's like, I can't, it's the princess's birthday or this or that and the other, that was fine with me. So again, I do think your problem sounds logistical, because even though Chris and I have these sort of different paths that we're both on, we still find ways to come together. Very good friends.
And you know, reflecting back, Joss, you know, if Joss says, if I say, hey, you know, you want to do something, you want to, can I come down and, you know, put a window in your shed or whatever, she might say, yeah, no, today is my day to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sacred. And I respect that. I don't say, well, come on, you know, you have plenty of time and I'm only free today. I would never disrespect you like that by assuming that your time is less valuable than mine.
Right.
Just because I actually don't think this is true, but I could make the assumption you have more dispensable time. Mm-hmm. More discretionary time than mm-hmm. I do with a more 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that's not necessarily true. My time is very moldable. I can mm-hmm. work at 10 o'clock at night, or I can work at 6 o'clock in the morning, or I can take 3 days off just randomly and decide not to work because I don't have a 9-to-5 job. Right. So I think I think you're measuring, Roseanne, by your own yardstick, by the way you measure yourself.
Yes.
And it may be that the time of close friendship is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. That what bonded you was kids the same age. Mm-hmm. And just kind of the logistics of, do you want me to carpool today? Or we sat together during karate class, watching the kids and chatting, and mm-hmm. those things don't happen anymore. And so the commonalities that created your friendship are no longer. It might be that Roseanne is not your best friend forever. Mm-hmm. And just that BFF, it's always a little tricky, you mm-hmm. know, because it plays into that mythology that we are supposed to stay friends forever at the same closeness, at the same mm-hmm. level of devotion that mm-hmm. that we once had here, or we might have again. So I would let the friendship kind of breathe, you know, expand, contract in and out, and respect her boundaries, respect her priorities, mm-hmm. and expect the same respect in return.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think too that relationships, the BFF moniker is problematic because, as you say, Kristen, it keeps everything very static. Mm-hmm. And relationships, as we know, are all very sort of dynamic. They move and grow and shrink and mm-hmm. move again. If you feel that your relationship is kind of shrinking and you're losing her, then you can be very intentional about creating new experiences in order to bond you again. Right. It doesn't just happen out of the air. You see, you've got to be very intentional about it.
Involve her in that.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, say, I'd love to spend, some more quality time with you. What do you think?
Agree. Yeah. But if you think your relationship is shrinking a little bit, then yes, do give it a breather until maybe you have a bit more in common again. Her child is in high school, might be different. She might not have to hold off on not having dinners on the weeknights when your kid is in high school at this point. So, you know, give it a breather maybe mm-hmm. and be more compassionate. That's what I say. Just really be more compassionate.
Yeah. There's kind of a thread of judgment running through your letter mm-hmm. and it's completely understandable mm-hmm. because you are using your life as, you know, I'm doing these things, therefore I am more ambitious. Mm-hmm. Where his or her ambition may look different. Her being cautious might be that she is a very contemplative person and you are more spontaneous.
Yes.
Neither is right or wrong. They're just different. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I have several close friends with whom I raised my children. You know, our kids are the same age. Our kids did the same activities, lived in the same town, and now our children are grown. The bonds that we've had from those 18 years when our children were doing the same things in the same area are never going to fade away. Those experiences will always be those experiences. Mm-hmm. I see those friends less than I used to. It used to be that, say, Christine and I would drop our toddler off with each other. I would get her kid on Tuesday and she'd get my kid on Thursday. So we saw each other all the time, twice a week at least, mm-hmm. you know. And we both were very domestic at the time. We both loved sewing and reading and baking and house cleaning and gardening. And now our lives have gone in different directions. She has a very important job in our town, full-time and then some. I have a job that's full-time and then some in my brain, you know, by myself. And yet when we get together again, the shared history is enough, and our shared love of each other and respect for each other continues our friendship. But we only see each other 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times a month. And right. there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
It's a friendship worth nurturing. We just don't have to nurture it nurture it as much as we did in the past.
Yeah.
So give that some thought. You know, I think you don't need to be quite so befuddled. I think maybe a little step back and a little compassion and just viewing Roseanne through a slightly different lens is going to fix this. That's what I think.
I agree. And be more intentional with your time with her.
Yeah.
Don't assume that, you know, when you go out and she's talking about her thing and you're talking about the new things you're doing at school, that's going to bond you together. Be more intentional and do things that you know that you both love when you get together.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a long and strong friendship.
Agree.
Based on this letter. And if you have like horrible, heinous things that you haven't told us, we take it all back.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.